Hi, this is Gurusi Singh, and you're listening to my Thick Accent podcast. So as the global landscape continues to evolve, people from all walks of life are faced with new challenges and opportunities. Whether it's pursuing a dream, adapting to a new environment, or overcoming obstacles, our guests bring forth their unique experiences and wisdom that ignite inspiration and drive change. And my guest today is one such person who have embraced change and charted his own path. Through his story, we will discover the power of networking, the importance of embracing diversity, and the endless possibilities that lie before us, and how a little preparation before moving countries can make a huge difference. So let's unravel the lessons he learned, the triumphs he achieved, and why the movie Black Panther is the reason he's in Canada now, and how is he so proficient in the German language. Please welcome Prateek Bawa.
Thank you so much, Gurusis. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the podcast, Prateek. And I want to start by clarifying something. I'm very curious to know something I heard, and which was that you are the top 1% Google reviewer on the Google Local Guides in Saskatoon. Tell me a little bit about what is behind that.
Right. So when I moved to Saskatoon from Toronto, Gurusis, in 2020, I think 2021, that is when, you know, it was a new city for me. And I always have this passion for taking, you know, photographs. So doing photography, especially, you know, landscapes and all those different, you know, things. And when I came to Saskatoon, it was all white, definitely. And I thought, you know, let's do something different. So I started using my, photography skills and photographs that I clicked and uploaded on Google. So I started to review different restaurants that I went to. I started to review different places in Saskatoon. And I was just very consistent doing that. And some of my, you know, photographs, you know, did garner a lot of reviews. And now, you know, fast forward today, I have, I think, almost 25 million views on different photos that I have on Google. So, you know, it definitely, as a Google local guide, it helps other, you know, people who are searching for something online, you know, the type of reviews they are searching for, or photographs. So that is how it all started. And I still, you know, continue to do that.
That's very fast. When I heard about it, I was like, okay, this is something completely new. Like, yes, we do see, like, everybody, all of us, whenever we go to a place, it's the time we live in where we can look at the reviews and everything. So you are definitely doing that God's work for people, letting people, putting in the right direction. But is it something that you have to, like, kind of get into, like, a, I don't know, is it like you have to, like, get certified or something like that? Or is it like anybody can do that? It's just like that.
So you don't need to get certified, but it just, like, Google itself as a local guide, you have different levels that gets unlocked based on how many pictures you upload, based on how many videos upload, how many, you know, comments you have or reviews for a restaurant or a specific place. So, you know, as and when I do these things, I get a new badge, you know, so something new unlocks for me. And the more badges you earn, it gives you more credibility to your profile. So that essentially what happens, but there is no specific certification or anything that you need to get through to start, you know, reviewing or uploading these things.
And is there any point that you can, like, monetize that thing? That traffic that you get, or no?
No, there is no way to monetize that. But however, what I know, so Google has this event where they, I think they obviously, you know, put forward names of, I think, top 100 local, you know, Google local guides from across the world. Sometimes I think they do get some kind of, like, you know, Google goodies and stuff like that. But personally for me, because I am not definitely at that level, I do get some, you know, sometimes, let's say, a $10 Google Play, you know, store card or something like that, you know, credits to purchase something. So very, very small things, but there is no, you know, essentially a way to monetize this. This is just, you know, from sheer, you know, something that you want to give to a society and be part of that, you know, more bigger reviewer community from Google.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think always something is better than nothing. And this is not something you are kind of really dependent upon. So I, when I read about that, like I told you, I was very fascinated. I wanted to know more about it. That was why this question. Okay. So we'll definitely talk more about the work that you did in Saskatoon and other parts of Canada. But I want to go back to the time you spent in Delhi. Tell us a little bit about your formative years and when was the first time you heard about the country Canada.
Okay, so again, I was born and brought up in Delhi. You know, have spent I think most of my time in Delhi with my parents, and then obviously I moved to different you know cities to work. I moved to Germany to do my master. So you know, obviously a lot of moving, living apart from parents. But I think Canada as a country that could be explored from a career perspective or from settlement perspective, I think this was kind of coined, or you know. This was seeded in my mind, I think probably in 2018,
okay,
when I was just having a discussion with my friend. So I think that is the year when I came to know about this immigration pathways and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. But what were you doing before you immigrated to Canada? Or tell us like what the focus was on growing up.
So growing up, obviously, you know, had different peaks and valleys, ups and downs. But I think if I talk about my childhood, for example, right, I was always, I think, you know, top five, you know, from, you know, in every grade, I was, you know, among top five, you know, person who is very good in education. I loved playing sports. And definitely when I talk about sports, cricket in India is very big.
Yeah.
And I did invest a lot of my time playing cricket. I also did play for, you know, a couple of clubs. I was also part of one I think pre-Ranji selection match that we have for Delhi.
Really?
So I played like for different leagues and different clubs when I was growing up, I think till grade 11th, 12th.
Okay.
And that's when I decided I don't want to. But, you know, from a personality perspective, I was very shy person, you know, in my childhood. But fortunately, I have like very modern parents who were very modern with their thinking. I can't recall a situation wherein they said no to whatever I wanted to do in terms of academics, choosing a career and all those things. They were pretty, you know, forward thinking, you know, open about all those things. And I think that's when, you know, when I got my first job after my graduation and doing German language, I had to relocate to a different, you know, city. And that's when my mom said, you have to go out of the house, because that's when you start learning, you become independent, and you really know how to live in a society.
Yeah.
So I think all of that unfolded, you know, as I was growing up, lots of time spent on education and sports, you know, during childhood. But then upbringing, you know, definitely it was all, I think, thanks to my parents and my friend. It helped me. Yeah.
And which city did you go to?
I was going to Chennai that time. So definitely very different from where I was living earlier, you know, different language, different culture, definitely very different weather. So yeah, it was, it's a south, southern city in India.
Yeah. So it was also, Prateek, the first time you were moving out of the house, right? So how was, even though you were less in the same country and people somewhat speak the same language also, but how was that experience like for you? Just like kind of uprooting from your house and kind of started living on your own.
It was very exciting. And why it was exciting was because the company that I was hired for, which was, you know, Amazon at that time, they, I think they manage our move or relocation pretty well. So I was, you know, very confident and I did not have any fears. Oh, okay, you know, I'm going to a new city. What will happen? Where will I live? So everything was pretty much taken care of by the company for at least, you know, I think initial 3-4 weeks. And then obviously, I think I am someone who really likes to do my pre-work or, you know, you know, kind of proactive understanding of where I'm going, what I need to do.
Of course.
So I think I always had that kind of quality in myself. So I think that really helped me. And then obviously, you know, you make different friends when you move to a new city.
Yeah.
You have a batch of people joining together. But I think overall, it was exciting. Definitely that language barrier was something which was on mind, and probably the food also sometimes. But I love South Indian food and I knew that I can also maybe learn a language if required. And
yeah.
I did learn a language actually in Chennai.
So is this something about Chennai or the southern part of India that you think you would like to share that people don't know about?
I can share one very interesting thing.
Sure.
So when I was in, you know, Chennai, obviously, you know, as you know, or probably a lot of people who know about India, they know that cities in south of India are very different, you know, culture, language, weather. But definitely when you are in a boardroom, you know, you have a lot of people who are in your company from, you know, local people. Yeah. And then you are a migrant, you know, kind of.
Absolutely,
you have come from a different city. You don't speak the language. It became very difficult sometimes because, you know, people will start talking in their local you know, language. But then I was like, Pratik, this is a great company. You know, I want to work for this company. How can I do something different? Or how can I be part of their culture?
Yeah.
Can I do anything? Right. So I decided to learn Tamil.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that time there was a song which came, which was, you know, I think composed by A.R. Rahman, which is one of the greatest, you know,
composers,
music person, composers. So I thought, you know, let me learn this song. I remember we, you know, kind of, you know, every corporation or every employer has some kind of, you know, activities or some kind of, you know, social clubs. And so I decided I want to learn this song and I will sing that song in front of all local people on the floor.
Oh, wow.
And I did that and people were amazed. So I used to have an Excel, Excel file. I, you know, there were two people from my team who would help me learn two new Tamil words every day. So I will have a Tamil word. What is the translation in English? And then I used to use that in, you know, the day-to-day conversation. So I think all of that really helped me to become part of their culture. And definitely they appreciated that. So I think that was something which probably not a lot of people know. But I learned the song, I learned the language, and it really helped me to, you know, be closer to them.
That sounds incredible. I think this really shows that your interest to really feel belonged and actually appreciate the culture that you are living in, right? So, yeah, I love that. So tell us a little bit about your career choice, you know, how you got into this career and first time kind of got entrusted into it.
So I think I have made, you know, a couple of different career choices, you know, if you see my experience as well in last 10 plus years. I think initially when I was graduating, I was, you know, just doing graduation in, you know, business administration. I was not into computers and stuff, but I always wanted to do something different. And that's when I picked up German language when I was still doing my bachelor, right, in Delhi. I did my German language for 3 years and definitely I wanted to leverage the language skill that I had. And that's when, you know, I joined, you know, Amazon as a German language translator. So that was a very different career shift, different career move. I was, you know, doing a lot of different, you know, interpretations and language and, you know, all those things using language. But then as I was working there, I quickly understood that I think I want to get a master's degree, because anyone who is managing at the top level, even if they don't know the language, they are still managers. Because for management, you don't need, you know, language skills, but you need managerial skills.
Absolutely.
So I think that's when I, you know, enrolled myself into an MBA program. I came back to Delhi, you know, got into myself into a college, you know, did that for 2 years. So that was leaving my job and doing full time. And after my MBA, I think again, my career shifted. So I, you know, got into another technology company. And then since then, I've been working in technology companies, specifically working on strategic partnerships, partner management, and those kind of relationship building account management roles. So I think, again, two career shifts. One was from German language and then post MBA, which is more managerial, relationship building. You're doing a lot of presentations, a lot of sales and stuff like that.
So, yeah. Okay. But usually, you know, Pratik, people are very hesitant to shift the careers or kind of get into a new industry. So what encouraged you to do that? Or was there, were you like hesitant to do that at some point?
I think I was not hesitant because I always knew that after my MBA, I would probably change something because I know the language, you know, but you can only go so far with the language, right? Language is good. You can work, you know, for a company which is based out of, you know, let's say Germany. But still, if you want to, you know, go to that, you know, more upward hierarchy positions, management positions, you need different kind of skills. So I knew that, you know, I would have to change. And I was absolutely okay to work in a non-German profile. Mm. So German still being my strength, you know, yeah. I have an added language, but I was pretty certain that this would come at some point. But I'm fortunate that I got into this specific domain of strategic partnerships and partner management, because this is universal. So every yeah. company, whether it's tech, non-tech, India, North America, you talk about any, you know, geographical place, they all have this team. They all have these people who are, mm-hmm. you know, managing their clients or a book of business yeah. and then also helping them sell. And I think getting into sales has been definitely challenging when I, you know, got into it earlier, initially. But I think it has been very satisfying. Mm-hmm. I love doing sales. It has changed my personality. You know, I've become more extrovert. You know, I've obviously picked up few skills while doing this. So, yeah, I think I love that.
Yeah, definitely sales is one of the industries where you have no choice but to talk to people. And you end up like building their communication skills, which are, I think, can be transferred into any career you choose in the future. Well, you said one thing, that German language can take you so far, but it definitely took you a little far when you moved to Germany, I believe, in 2014 to do your master's in international business.
Yeah.
So, and this was also the first time before you immigrated to Canada, you immigrated to Germany for some time. So tell us about that experience and how was your first day when you moved there?
Oh my God, that's definitely an experience, Gurasis.
I bet.
I still can't believe it happened. It happened to me, I can't believe. I think I was just very fortunate to have that phase in my life. And what happened was, when I was picking up colleges, you know, for MBA, obviously, you know, I was going through different colleges in different cities, but then I finally, you know, drilled down to a college, which is, you know, in Noida, which is, you know, just like a GTA or a greater, you know, a nearby city, you know, to a major city. And when I enrolled and when I, you know, paid my fees and everything, I got an email saying that they have established a strategic partnership with a German university, and we would be taking few people from this batch for an all expense 100% scholarship trip to Germany for a semester, which is 6 to 8 months.
Oh, wow.
Everything paid by the, you know, university. And I was like, as soon as I got my email, so this is still before the session has actually started. I think session started in July. I got this email probably May, June. And I was like, Prateek, I can see myself going to Germany, because I would have been perhaps the only one or probably fewer people who know the language. And that happened when I joined. You know, I came with an experience. I was doing German translations and stuff, and I was probably one of the first person to be picked for this. Obviously, they had a different, you know, process. You had to go through some exams and group discussions and, you know, language tests and stuff. But I was fortunate to be picked, and I was also asked to actually, you know, manage our entire group of 10 students and represent them when I'm in Germany. Because I knew the language, so it was easier for me to communicate, you know, all the pre-arrival stuff, you know, onboarding, like boarding and lodging and all those things. And then first day, Germany, very, very happy. You know, we were 10 of us. I could speak the language. You know, I could see things which were written on airport, on, you know, streets. Yeah. I could read that and I can comprehend that. And I could, you know, relay that to, you know, other students who were with me. And then there were people, you know, a couple of students from the university who actually came to pick us up from the airport. But I think it was definitely an amazing experience, amazing memory, you know, to be cherished, I think, forever.
And this is actually also the true example where you never know what skill you kind of honing on to, or you're just adding another feather to your cap. You never know when this is going to help you and see you end up getting the opportunity to go to Germany. I want to talk a little bit more about that, your master's there, Prateek. And when I was reading that reference letter from your professor, you know, and they were talking about the program a little bit, I want to just quote from the letter. It said that the core vision of the program is that differences between markets, societies, and cultures matter, and that these differences are not only to be seen as challenges, but as chances as well. And when I read that, it resonated with me. And that's exactly I try to talk more and more about on the podcast. And that's exactly the guests I bring on, they have embraced through their life, to their journey within Canada or whichever the part they've immigrated to. But I want to know more about you, that what exactly the work that you were doing there and how that experience have kind of facilitated the process that you end up having in Canada.
I think that's a great question. And, you know, glad that you read that letter from, I still remember Professor Greg, you know, Brueger-Lambert, who was, you know, heading the program. So this was a master's program in international business. And really, you know, the, I think pedagogy of this program was to really have subjects and understand and, you know, get knowledge about those subjects, both from a mature market perspective and also from a, you know, developing economy perspective, right? So whether you talk about marketing, whether you talk about, you know, cross-culture communication, you know, any subject that you see, you know, there is a different, you know, kind of, I would say, implementation of the same subject when you compare a developed economy versus a developing economy, right? A lot of things change, a lot of things, you know, the way you do work changes. So I think, obviously, this, you know, course was really unique in itself because we had people and students coming from different parts of the world. It was not only Germans and, you know, us Indians being there. There were people from China. There were people from, you know, Mexico, different countries, you know, sharing different dialects. It was definitely, the course was delivered in English. But I think really something which helped me personally, you know, or what I gained from that was obviously learning about German as a country. You know, I was always intrigued to know about the country, you know, because I have spent three years of learning that language. But apart from that, it was all about how you all come together from different cultures, how you embrace that change, and then, you know, what can you pick up from those, you know, different conversations.
Absolutely.
So how different things work, you know, what is story behind German students, what is story behind, you know, Chinese students, what is story behind people coming from, you know, let's say Mexico. So it was really, you know, I think a game changing, I think, kind of situation for me, because I definitely improvised on my German skills, but then I also learned on how to become friends with people from different cultures, how to, you know, embrace that change that I spoke about earlier, and how to collectively work together as a group, right? Because when you talk about working in MNCs and, you know, career progression, you would likely work with people from different cultures. So, you know, it would definitely make sense if you understand those, you know, small cultural differences, you know, what is good in one culture may be different, you know, in one culture. And then really, I think it helps you to really do that effective communication, understand the cultural differences. And I think all of that really helped me to prepare for my move to Canada, right? Because I already worked with people from different culture, you know, I could speak a different language. I have lived apart, you know, separate from my family, where, you know, I was all alone with other students. You are doing everything from studying, you know, to, you know, your day-to-day jobs and running errands on yourself. So I think all of that really helped me to prepare, you know, for my Canadian journey, I would say.
And I think I want to just also commend you for, you know, being able to, or I would say that I want to commend you for making use of that advantage that you got of moving to abroad, to Germany, to another country, because I feel like many people completely dismiss that opportunity and they kind of stay within their own horizons and they don't try to kind of expand that. And, but like you said, all those things is being you now with your move to Canada, having that understanding of culture nuances, being able to talk to people, being able to ask the right questions, right? So speaking of which, let's just delve into your Canadian journey. And also I wanted to share with our listeners why the movie Black Panther is the reason you decided to come to Canada.
Absolutely. You know, one thing before I talk about or answer this question is, Gurasis, great things or magic happens when you step out of your comfort zone.
100%,
right? And a lot of us do that, you know, every day, right? You know, all of us do that every day. But sometimes, you know, we still, you know, I think restrict ourselves to not doing that. And I think that is, you know, the difference between people who embrace change, who become successful, or, you know, I think so that is very important for me. Now, coming to your question, you know, Canada, Black Panther. So it all started, I told you, 2018 was when I actually went to see Black Panther with one of my friends who was from my master's, you know, MBA time. And while we were in the interval, he told me that I have few friends who are in the US were planning to go to Canada. And I was like, why? Everyone wants to go to the US. It's the great American dream.
Yeah.
And then he told me about, you know, challenges that they have for getting the green card and all those things. And, you know, how Canada immigration, you know, system, they are pretty lenient from that perspective. And if you are educated, you get good, you know, scores, you know, IELTS and all those things,
yeah,
you can actually become permanent residents. And that is when that initial seed was planted in my head. And that's when we both started exploring about different programs and pathways on how can we, who have good experience, we are, you know, master student, we have good command over the language, how can we go to Canada as permanent residents and can eliminate that struggle life that a lot of other people would have,
yeah, like
when they migrate. So I think that's how it all started. And then I think 2018, it started probably, you know, early 2018, and 2019 September, I was in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I think less than 2 years, all of that happened. We figured out a pathway, and I came, you know, from what is the program that is called, where they invite
experienced skilled workers.
Experienced skilled workers. Right. So that's the class which I took to, you know, come to Canada. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was the process complicated for you, or was it like smoothly it went through?
It was not complicated. It could be for a lot of others, but I think for me, it just happened. So, you know, we, mm-hmm, met a lawyer, you know, we obviously consulted different consultants, understood the process. There is lots of information, you know, online, but because I was working full time, I definitely took help of an experienced lawyer because I did not have that time to do all of that. And I obviously now, when I know that this is a pathway, I did not want to delay that as well. So I don't want to wait for 3-4 years doing everything on my own and just, you know, doing something wrong. So I thought, let me get a lawyer. And I think everything went really smooth from giving your, you know, IELTS exam, having those funds, and, you know, preparing myself mentally, financially, or whatever, you know, you want to say. And then, you know, be ready to be in Canada. So I think, yeah, everything was very smooth.
Okay.
That's good.
So in 2019, you said you landed in Canada. So tell us about your first day and what was going on in your mind.
Very good day, thankfully. I still remember. So my cousin sister lives in Canada.
Okay.
She is in Toronto, and I decided to come to Toronto again because, you know, it has more opportunities. I already have a cousin sister. And when I called her from the airport, I was like, sister, you know, I am here. I will take a taxi and I am coming to your house. I have your address. And she was like, no, you have to wait.
Okay.
We are just 10 minutes away. We have taken leaves from our office and we are 10 minutes away from, you know, picking you from the airport. So I was really happy. I was not expecting them to pick me up, but it always feels great when you have family or friends coming to pick you up from the airport.
Yeah.
So they picked me up from the airport. I was definitely mesmerized. It was not very different because I have spent a lot of time in Germany. So it was not that I'm coming to a developed country for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, that weather, I came in September. It was, you know, fall season. I can see my brother-in-law, my sister. And then we went to the mall. I think that was the first thing because I was hungry. So they thought, let us take you to the mall. You know, we'll enjoy some time. And they just did not want me to sleep so that I don't have the jet lag. So I think that day was spent with them chit-chatting. I was in the mall. We had some great lunch and they picked me up. So that was my first day. Really interesting.
That must be tiring to go to just mall. I mean, yes, it would be exciting, but after like 22-hour long flight, just not going to the bed and just going outside. How was that like?
It was not at all because, you know, I still remember the first day we were just talking about some random things. You know, I met my brother-in-law and I was staying with them. I think, I don't know, like I was just so excited and
course.
I had that different energy. I think some people have that. I you know, did not feel tired at all. You know, I was just enjoying, you know, definitely the reason for going to the mall was that they don't want me to sleep now in the afternoon because I will get jet lag. So I was like, yes. And I was definitely, you know, exploring. So I think we, you know, took the whole day just to explore around, just to see their condo, their apartment, you know, what they have. So I think I was not at all tired. I was very energized, very happy.
Okay. And you did talk briefly about that, you know, this is not the first time you're immigrating to a new country. So was there like any, like, if you can kind of reflect on that journey and tell us like about the major difference you saw immigrating this time compared to the time we moved for the first time?
I think lots of differences, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about differences, because we were going to, a master's program in Germany, a lot of things were, you know, taken care by the university. Mm, so, you know, okay. Everything was taken care in terms of accommodation, in terms of food, where are we living, you know, what buses we would have. We already had our bus passes when we landed. So I think pretty much it was all kind of given to us on a plate mm-hmm. when it comes to the relocation aspect of the journey, right? Got and obviously it, yeah. we have to, you know, study, but everything apart from that was pretty much taken care. Now here, obviously, it was all myself. Whether it's finding a house, you know, knowing which bank account to open a new account, you know, which part of the city you have to live in. But apart from this, how would you get a job? Because you are here not on scholarship. You have, you know, little savings that you will burn very quickly if you don't get the job. So I think it was very, very different. But because fortunately, I did a lot of pre-arrival study. I did a lot of pre-arrival networking and work. It was not that difficult, Gurasis, okay. I would say. It was difficult, but I think I was well prepared to face the challenges, I would say.
So that was actually my next question regarding the pre-arrival. So tell us a little bit about the preparation that you did and what is something that usually the immigrants that move to a new country completely miss that?
Understanding about the law of the new land, right? So whether it's accommodation, whether it's getting a job, I think the most important thing is how do people live in that region? Mm-hmm. How do people live in Canada? You know, what is culturally different, right? When I talk about these things, I think a couple of things which really helped me to be successful, you know, earlier on in my journey was the power of networking. And when I was doing my pre-arrival work, Gurasis, I was actually using this, I think SOPA is name of this, I think, agency, which is funded by IRCC. I think we have a lot of agencies, you know, like that in different parts of Canada. So I was using their pre-arrival, you know, kind of, you can say workbook or, you know, kind of deck, which really helped me. So, you know, whether it's accommodation, which websites, for example, you know, you would have to search to get accommodation, right? Which bank accounts do you have, right? Websites of the bank account. Networking, you know, how do you get jobs? So, you know, you talk about different events. Obviously, LinkedIn was, you know, something which stood across, you know, all your networking. Everyone uses LinkedIn. So I think all of that really helped me. And also, I think I kind of had this advantage of knowing some of my clients when I was working for a tech company based in India. Mm-hmm. So we had different clients who were based in the US, not in Canada, but I think mostly in US. You know, and when I used to, you know, talk to them, I could little understand, you know, different culture differences. You know, we had a couple of Canadian clients as well. So it was kind of not something which was, you know, you are going in the dark and you don't know anything, right? Yeah. So I always had some information about, for example, my clients who are in Canada, right? So I was always, you know, in touch with them. I started applying for jobs, you know, when I was still in India. So I think all of this really helped me. And then obviously, you know, I had my sister. So definitely, you know, some inputs from your family and friends really helps you to, you know, when you are coming to a new country. But definitely this was very, very different for sure.
And I think, like you have said initially, that you were always a planner since maybe it was changing cities within the same country or moving countries. You were always a planner and that has definitely worked in your favor in that. And I think this would also be the right time to talk about Arrive. If you'd like to share with us, you know, you work as an ambassador there. Tell us about that.
So March 2020, I think the entire world was locked down because of COVID, right? And I, you know, had recently started my job there and I started in January and I was like, oh my God, what has happened? But one thing which I recognized pretty early on in my Canadian journey was the importance of volunteering in Canada, right? So people do really value your, you know, volunteer efforts, hours that you put in, no matter what are you volunteering for? Like, is it, you know, for childcare? Is it for, you know, hospitals? Is it for a store? If you are doing anything which is an unpaid stuff, but you are doing it, you know, to give back to the society,
yeah.
I think it is always acknowledged. And that was a time when I thought, Prateek, I have got my first job. Obviously, it's not the best job or the job that I wanted, but I still have the job. I'm fortunate. It's COVID time. There are a lot of immigrants coming to the country. How can I give back to the society? So that's when I joined Arrive as an ambassador. And Arrive in, you know, is actually an RBC Ventures company.
Yeah.
So, you know, powered by RBC Ventures. And really, they help people in both pre-arrival and post-arrival. So if you go to the website, they will have different articles. They used to host different webinars. They would have, for example, mm-hmm. some people from RBC Bank who would help you to set up a new bank account. So really, you know, helpful and powerful tool for immigrants, even students, you know, coming in who are, let's say, students are in Toronto and they want to move to, let's say, Saskatoon or a different city, or immigrants have to move. What are different, you know, things that you have to keep in mind? So I think that was when I started volunteering and became an ambassador. And since then, I think I've just mentored so many people. And mentoring does not mean that I'm always telling them how to do things. Sometimes it's just about listening to them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people come here, they don't have anyone to talk about, right? So just listening to them, you know, hearing what they have to say, and then, you know, giving them advices, suggestions based on my personal journey, what has worked for me, and people do feel appreciated when they get help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes you just need somebody to listen to you and kind of help you take the next steps, or what is the right choice to make at this moment, especially somebody who has walked the path. So it's the best. That's the best person to ask about it. And about the platform, you know, Arrive and Prateek, I think I had somebody opportunity to speak to somebody else on the podcast. And I think I cannot highlight this more and more, that it's an amazing platform to all my listeners. I think you think about something, it's already there. Need an article about, I don't know, accommodation, need an article about housing, need an article about just coming to a country, article about networking. Just think about it and you'll find an article there. So I highly, highly recommend our listeners to definitely check the platform. I'll put the links in the show notes. So Prateek, you also lived in Saskatoon, right? You moved from Toronto to Saskatoon and now you're in Calgary, of course. So I have never spoken to anybody who is from Saskatoon. I've never been there. In fact, I've not been to enough cities in Canada, but Saskatoon is obviously one of them. And since I have you, tell us about the experience of living there and what is even the cost of living there.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. My two words. Obviously, it's a very, very small city, Gurasis, you know, when you compare it with likes of Toronto, Vancouver, even Calgary. But I love the people of Saskatoon. You know, I think as any other small city, you know, people are more friendly. They are more accommodating, I would say. And I moved to Saskatoon because I got a very good opportunity to work for a technology company. I knew no one when I was coming to Saskatoon. And I still remember I booked my accommodation online using Facebook Marketplace, mm-hmm. and the owner actually came to pick me from the airport. Can you imagine?
Really?
Someone who I've never lived with, I've just paid, you know, some deposit to them, and I still have not confirmed the accommodation. They are coming to the airport to pick me up and, you know, show me the house, and I still have to decide. So I think people are so nice. Definitely, it's a small city, so it will not have, you know, everything that a big city has, probably, you know, bigger shopping malls or different activities and different things that you can do. Definitely one of the coldest places to live in Canada. But I think for my work, I had to come here. But overall experience was really good. I think it is also, if not the fastest, probably one of the fastest growing cities in Canada now. A lot of new immigrants coming in, definitely. So population is increasing. And from the cost of living perspective, Gurasis, I think it's still pretty affordable. So when you talk about, like, for example, car insurance, the housing prices, I think that's pretty
affordable,
less expensive, cost effective. Yeah, affordable from other, you know, cities. But again, like, the thing is, the question that I used to ask was, okay, I'm not earning that much, cost of living is less, but the thing is that I don't have a lot of places to, you know, spend my money on, because there is just not so much to do, right? And especially when you're coming from a big city, you know, you'll always have that, you know, that you'll have probably less people from, let's say, your culture or your kind of, you know, city or demographics. But overall, I always encourage people, if they have to move to Saskatoon for any reason, whether it's job or, you know, getting their PR or whatever, absolutely recommend the city. It's beautiful. I love the people. And yeah, I think that's my two cents on Saskatoon. So really, really good time spent, you know, in Saskatoon for sure.
Well, I hope you checked the zeros while paying the deposit to your landlord, that he came to pick you up, especially from the airport. That's something new I've heard.
I did check. But yeah, landlord, I'm still in touch with them and they are amazing.
And you also ran a marathon there, right? It was the first in-person Saskatchewan marathon since the start of pandemic. And was it like 10 kilometers, I believe? Tell us about that experience.
Yes, you know, I think because, again, I was alone, I wanted to do something. I was, you know, hitting gym every day. And I thought, let me participate in this marathon as well. I have participated in a couple of marathons while I was still in India. And it was definitely first marathon, Saskatchewan, in Canada. And, you know, I ran with one of my friend and luckily got featured in, I think, one of the, I think, CBC News articles. We got someone from there who interviewed us. So it was a good experience. And, you know, yeah, I think it was great experience for sure. And it was 10 kilometers. Yeah. And I also did my best time, which was, I think, sub 60. So 57, 58 minutes. Yeah.
So Pratik, I also like heard in one of the interviews, you mentioned that, you know, the one of the biggest challenges you had was, and for many immigrants also, I think they relate to that, is understanding what is not going right. And how can I improvise? And when I heard that, I also kind of thought about my experiences when I moved to Canada. You know, you are sort of like in this loop of going to the job, coming back home, getting your food and then sleeping. And you are in this, you know, like continuous loop and you have no time to reflect, especially somebody like me who was always under the parents' shelter. And now I'm started living on my own and I'm just trying to going on to the next thing, which will help me survive in this new country. And I'm not at all reflecting what am I liking, what I'm not liking, how am I feeling in this new world. But I wanted to just expand a little bit about more on that. And how was your experience and how did you kind of cope up with that situation?
Very good question, Gurasis. And I think really the only way that you can, you know, reflect on certain things that you would like to change or would help, you know, you to progress in your career or even in your personal life is sometimes just to talk to people around you. And to do that, you need to have good people around you. Like you can't just talk to anyone, right? So when you talk about networking or people that you spend most of your time, you know, people say that you're average of the five people you spend most time with.
Absolutely.
Right? So you have to have those good people in your life. And I think for me, what worked was I had great mentors when I came to Canada. And these were mentors which I met when I came to Canada at part of different networking events. You know, a couple of them really helped me, guided me. And for example, you know, very, you know, small things like I'm interviewing for a job, but I'm not getting a job. Now, how would I know what I'm doing wrong, right?
Yeah.
Because no one gives me feedback. So I have to talk to someone or I have to give those, you know, kind of demo interviews to, let's say, my mentors or my friends, and then have them give me that feedback that what is something that is required, what are employers looking for. And then also importantly, to talk between your industry peers. You know, if you are, let's say, a partner manager, talk to a different partner manager or a partner manager VP to a different company and use that 15 minutes of informational interview to understand what are they looking for when they're hiring. So I think all of that was really helpful. So, you know, sometimes it's important to self-reflect, but you need another one's feedback to be able to identify what is not going right and what is not going wrong, you know, what is wrong. And then you improvise based on, okay, do you want to even change this or are you okay with doing wrong, right? So again, I think having those people in your life, having a couple of good mentors, people around you to talk to, and then always talking to your industry peers and understanding, okay, if they are now at a VP level or they are, you know, doing great in their careers, for example, what have they done differently to reach there? And then always trying to do that, whether it's getting certifications, whether it's studying more, whether it's networking. So I think, again, there are different ways to do that, but that's how I did. You know, I definitely leaned on others very good people for feedback and, you know, support.
And I believe LinkedIn was definitely like one of your platforms you were using to kind of connect with people, right? And I think LinkedIn is one of the platforms which is like a long time commitment, of course. And, you know, but don't you think like people sometimes get bogged down by not receiving those responses too? So what advice would you give to somebody who is kind of in the same boat where they're trying to network, but not looming enough responses?
The first thing is, are you networking with the right people, right? And that first message that you send to someone when you are, you know, sending them a connection request, that is so, so, so powerful, right?
Yeah.
What are you writing in that message? It is powerful, right? Everyone is busy in their life. If I want to give you 15 minutes, you have to earn that 15 minutes of my time, right? And absolutely, that is only when, and the best way that I figured out was, how can I add value to someone else before even expecting or asking for anything in return, right? So it's always that give mentality, which a lot of people don't have, right? Everyone wants a job. They will go to LinkedIn, they will connect, and they will say, I saw a job on, you know, your company's profile. Can you refer me? How can someone refer you?
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd. Like, what have you contributed or added, you know, to their life? Have you given something? So, you know, I always thought that it's important. And again, this is based on, you know, my networking, you know, with people and peers and my mentors. That's how the LinkedIn has to be used. So I think that was something which I use and I still do it. You know, what value can I add to you, your life first? And then if everything goes good, then you would automatically start, you know, reciprocating and giving me all those things.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, so before we get into the final segment, Prateek, I just have this one question to ask you where, you know, you have talked that people are looking for good advice, like we just discussed, and but it's not always easy to get good advice from right people. They're always there to throw you apart, or they just don't want to give you the right advice, or you know that they will just belittle you for who you are and will probably give you false hopes. And I feel like there is a story, or there's like an experience behind this, the reason that you have said this. And if you remember, no pressure, can you please share with us that what was your experience that happened that led you say that people sometimes want to give you advice, but they don't give you the right advice?
Gurasis, very good question. And I think what I would, how would I answer this is, I personally never got into this situation. However, when I was mentoring, or I do mentor a lot of newcomers, they always talk about different advice or suggestions that they got from someone else, you know, with whom they were talking. A lot of times it could be family members. For example, I still remember, you know, someone who came as a PR, and I think he was living, I think, in Brampton, maybe there at their cousin's place. And he was looking for a good marketing job. You know, he had tons of experience. And then when I talked, talked to that person, he said, you know what, I'm living with my family, like, you know, extended family, I'm in basement. And what they are telling me is, you know what, you go to Tim Hortons, you know, you don't have to wait for your job. You just, you know, go and do any job. It's all good. Okay. Or you, you know, join the trucking industry, right? So, and he was someone who has like tons of experience, right? So there are people who would, you know, probably belittle your experience, or who would say, you know what, why do you want to do the same stuff that you were doing, you know, in your home country? Do anything, you know, you have to earn. So that is something which, you know, a lot of people, again, it depends how mentally strong you are. Some people fall into that trap and they say, okay, let's do whatever is available. And some people, you know, are convinced, they do have that self-confidence. So I heard those stories from a lot of people. People were just giving, you know, very vague advices. So I think that is something which you have to be mindful as an immigrant, that you have to do your own work. Even if you have extended families, you have friends and family, it's your job, it's your work. No one has enough time to talk to you. No one has enough time to sometimes give you the right advice. You have to figure it out. And that's how I did.
Yeah.
You listen to everyone, but you do what is right for you and what makes you happy. So I think these were like these kind of stories were there, which I kind of heard, but nothing fortunately happened with me per se.
Okay. But that's good to hear, Ben. Thank you for, you know, sharing that story. And that's definitely going to make people a little equipped with the information that is necessary to network with people, and more importantly, with the right people. And speaking of networking and the right people, talk a little bit about the immigrant networks for which you are the newcomers ambassador, and talk a little bit about that and how can people connect with you.
Right. So, you know, like you mentioned, Arrive. Now, immigrant network is also kind of little similar, but again, very, very different, because immigrant networks is built by immigrants for immigrants, right? So it's really a networking online community where you, if you are a Canadian, like a student, international student who is in Canada, you are a permanent resident, you are an immigrant, and you really want to network, right? You know, it's easier for someone who is not an immigrant to give you advice and suggestions when they have not gone through the same experience.
Yeah.
And it's really different when it comes to an immigrant giving advice and suggestions to an immigrant, right, who is struggling. You know, there is a lot of difference. You know, they know what you have been through. So immigrant network is, you know, same, similar, such kind of, you know, model where you can just join the community by going to immigrantnetworks.com. Anyone can become a member. And once you become a member, we have sessions every Wednesday.
Okay.
I think at 6 p.m., I think MST or Mountain Standard Time, 5 p.m., I think Vancouver time. And these sessions could be anywhere from how to do networking, you know, or we could have a panel discussion maybe on banking, or okay, we might have someone from the tech industry. So different topics, or sometimes, you know, about how to be positive when you are not finding jobs, right? So there
Absolutely.
Are a lot of things, you know, which we cover. And there are ambassadors on this call, like myself. You know, there are people who are joining as new immigrants, new students. And then, you know, that's there is a dialogue. So after a presentation about a topic, we have open forum to discuss Q&A. And then this community, it also there is a bot which matches you with people from the same network.
Mm.
So let's say if you know, someone joins in and they fill their profile that I'm in IT and I'm this, they would pair you with someone from within the network.
Okay.
So that you can talk to, right? So the bot does it automatically. You get paired to, you know, a person every, I think, Sunday or Thursday. That's when you get paired. But again, you know, great way to just leverage the community, because there are lots of people. So why not leverage immigrants to help new budding immigrants who are finding it difficult to help. So
okay,
that's, you know, what we do.
And people can reach out to you on LinkedIn if they want to just talk to you?
Absolutely. I think LinkedIn is the best place, because even if they go to immigrantnetworks.com and they get registered, they can see me in their, like, you know, ambassador's profile.
Yeah.
They can, you know, see myself, my LinkedIn profile, or they can just connect with me as well on LinkedIn.
So to all my listeners, the links to contact Prateek and to look on the other platforms you work with, the links to that can be found in the show notes. Okay, Prateek, so we are in the final segment of the podcast. I call it Beneath the Accent. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You can answer them in one word or a sentence or however you feel like. The idea is just to know more about you. So ready?
Sure.
So what's this one habit you adopted that has changed your life?
Consistency.
Is this something you recently bought and you now regret?
No.
So what's the most expensive thing you own?
I think as of now, my SUV, my car.
Okay. So what's the most expensive thing you would like to own?
Probably a house soon.
Name three things on your bucket list.
This is a good one. Going to Antarctica.
Okay.
For a cruise. Traveling with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with her and getting my parents to Canada.
Okay. So who's your go-to person when you feel stuck?
A lot of times I would say my mom and my wife.
So what advice would you give to Prateek, who is in the initial months of landing in Canada?
Be confident. Prepare yourself for the worst. Always have a plan B. But plan. And be consistent.
So are there any movies that you like to watch over and over again?
I like the, you know, Need for Speed series. So I do watch them quite a bit.
Okay.
Every now and then. I still remember one of my favorite movies, Titanic, which sometimes I do watch. Not a very hardcore movie fan, but I think these are, you know, few that I sometimes watch every now and then.
So are there any series or movies that you're watching right now?
Not exactly. I have my parents right now, so I think we spend a lot of time just going out and, you know, enjoying. So I think not so much time, you know, spent on watching series and stuff.
If you could have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
South Indian, dosa, idli. I can have it every day, all year.
Okay. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Educate and inspire people around me.
If you could describe yourself any creature, what would it be?
Okay, I have never thought about this. But probably I would say a dog. I'm pretty loyal with my network, with my family, with people around me. So people can definitely, you know, have me as someone who can be trusted upon.
So describe Canada in one word or a sentence.
Definitely land of opportunities, if you know how to pick up the opportunities.
So on that note, Prateek, thank you so much for being on the podcast and adding value to my listeners.
Thank you so much, Gurasis. Great being here.
Hey, listener. Thank you for making it to the end. I highly, highly appreciate you listening the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't as yet. And please share with your friends or anybody you think would like it. And like I always say, we encourage you to follow your heart, but also us on Instagram. The handle is mythickaccent. You can also leave us a review or write to us at hello@mythickaccent.com. So stay tuned and let's continue knowing each other beneath the accent.